Hi, good morning. Welcome to Dunker Road Church Online. It's great that you can join with us. Psalm 103 is our study psalm this morning, a psalm of blessing. I like the story of the little boy who went shopping with his dad. And dad took him to a sweet shop and they went to a kind of pick and mix section. And dad said to him, "Son, put on the plastic glove and scoop out some sweets. Whatever you can carry, you can have." To the dad's surprise, the boy suddenly got shy. And he turned into dad and he just said, "Daddy, daddy, you do it, you do it." Well, dad was amazed by this. He'd never seen such shyness in his son. So he put the glove on and he took some sweets and they put it in the bag. When they got out of the shop, dad said to the boy, "What's the matter? You're not normally that shy." And the little boy looked up and with a boyish grin said, "Ah, but dad, your hands are bigger." We have a God who has big hands and he's going to bless us this morning. He blesses us in so many ways, as we will see in Psalm 103. Our guest speaker this morning is Andy Godfrey. For many years, Andy worked with Slavic Gospel Association as a missionary abroad. And he also works now with Christian Aid and also the Good News newspaper. And so we look forward to Andy coming and sharing again from God's word. We have Tim Guest who will do the children's talk, and we have some great hymns and great songs to worship a great God. So it's good to have you with us. May God bless us all.
Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, We bring you our praise. You are the immortal God, the one who has no beginning and no end. You hold history in your hands. Oh, Father God, we want to honour you from the most public action of our hands to the innermost thoughts of our hearts. Father God, we want to praise you for your amazing mercy towards us. Lord, that you have chosen to withhold judgment and punishment from us, and instead you give us grace, so much more than we ever can imagine or deserve. Lord, abundant, all-sufficient, astounding grace. We want to bring our praise to you, Father, as the God of truth, the one whose word shines as a light and a beacon in the darkness of this deceitful and frustrating world. Lord, you are the one who makes our paths straight and our hearts pure, and we commit ourselves to you in holy fear and in love. Lord, you are the one who shows us the compassion of a loving Father, even though you know us completely. Forgive us, Lord, we pray, that so often we fail to bring you praise. We fail to give you the abundant praise of our hearts, and we get distracted so often by the things around us. So, Father, we come to you and we plead with you. We ask you for a song of praise to be established in our hearts, and a song of praise to be on our lips, so that we can proclaim your salvation joyfully and faithfully and with wisdom and with love. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
I want you to think, if you had a really big problem that just seemed huge and you didn't know how to solve it, what would you do? Would you panic? Would you try and figure it out by Googling what to do? Would you give up and just be sad? What would you do if you had a huge problem? Well, today in our true story from the Bible, we meet a lady called Hannah, and she has a big problem. She's married, but she doesn't have any children, and she can't have children. And her and her husband would love some children. And because she doesn't have children, some people are really mean to her, and they pick on her and make her life miserable. So what does Hannah do in the middle of her big problem? Does she panic? No. Does she Google what to do? No. Does she just give up and be sad? No. Do you know what Hannah does? In the middle of her huge problem, she prays. She talks to God about her problem. You see, God is bigger than any problem that we might have. He can always comfort us, and he always wants to listen to us when we pray to him. Hannah prayed to God, and God was very kind, and he gave her and her husband a baby, a little boy called Samuel. And when God had helped Hannah with her big problem, what do you think she did next? Do you think she just ignored God and didn't bother saying thank you? No. Hannah was very clear that the baby was a gift from God. She was really thankful to God. She understands that all the thanks and all the praise needs to go to God for her baby. You see, when we ask God for his help, and he helps us, we must remember to say thank you and to praise God for his kindness to us. As we look at the true story of Hannah in the Bible, we can see that we can always ask God for his help with our problems. And when he helps us, we must say thank you. When Hannah prays and thanks God, she says, "There is no God but you." Hannah understands there's only one God. He loves us. He cares for us. He is the only God that we should love and that we should praise. So when we have problems, when we're really worried, when we don't know what to do, we can pray and talk to God and share them with God. He may not always help us in the way that we think he should, but he will always be there for us. When we pray and God helps us, let's never forget to say thank you. And you know, God has helped us with the biggest problem that we could ever face. God has helped us with the problem of sin. He did that by sending Jesus to take the punishment for sin instead of us. So God has helped us with the biggest problem. And therefore, we've all got something to thank God for. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you've helped us all with the big problem of sin, that we could do nothing about ourselves. Help us to always remember that. And please help us when we're in trouble, when we're worried, to ask for your help and to come to you. Amen.
Dad, this one's for you, for the things you do every day. From breakfast to homework.
That's not the way you're supposed to do it, Dad.
Why would they change math? Math is math.
It's okay,
math,
Dad.
Is math.
From bedtime stories
closing
to the warm, cuddly bear hugs.
That's my boy!
from putting strict rules.
As long as you live under my ocean, you'll obey my rule.
I want you back here by 10:30.
To being my partner in crime.
Yeah!
And Daddy, when I'm lost... You're the only one who can literally swim across an ocean and find me.
I love you.
Dad, I may not say this to you every day. Thank you for making me me.
Love you, Dad.
Let us pray together. We pray today for dads, for new dads and granddads and stepdads and adoptive dads and solo dads. For baldy ones and beardy ones, skinny ones and cuddly ones. For dads who tell terrible jokes and dads who dance to YMCA. For dads who know how to fix things and dads who just pretend they know how to fix things. Father to the fatherless, we pray for those for whom this day is more sad than it is happy. For those who feel that they have failed, for those who are grieving for children they've never had, and for those missing their dads or their children even more than usual. Father God, at a time of so much pain, when so many dads are distant, absent, or even abusive, we lean into your ever-present love and healing. You are faithful and kind, especially to those of us orphaned, abandoned, and hurt. As the psalmist says, even if my father abandons me, the Lord will hold me close. Psalm 27, verse 10. Father of mercy, heal our many hurts. Restore the dignity, strength, and integrity of fatherhood in our families, in our communities, and in our nations. As the Apostle Paul says, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that you may know love. Ephesians 3 verse 14. And finally, Lord, we pray for anyone that feels forgotten or neglected today, that they will be refreshed by a sense of your presence, and the knowledge that they are your own beloved child and that you are their own devoted dad. Amen.
To him, the God of life. all-sufficient sacrifice.
Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed, he remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower in the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul.
Great is the Lord, worthy of praise.
of our God, the holy place, the joy of the whole earth. Great is the Lord in whom we have the victory. He hates us against the enemy. Bow down on our knees, and Lord, we want to lift your name on high, and Lord, we want to thank you for the work you've done in our lives, and Lord, we trust in your unfailing love.
Good morning. It is so good to be with you at Duncan Road this morning. I wish it was in person. Circumstances have obviously prevented that. I was really looking forward to coming and being with you and hopefully seeing my friends Gordon and Penny and others. I have fond memories of a previous visit to your church. Do hope and pray the Lord is blessing you at this time. And thank you so much to all of you who've tuned in. You've given me a really interesting subject to speak on this morning, and I hope it's going to be a blessing to you. I just wanted to say, for those of you who don't know me, I have the privilege of being the UK rep for this. I know you're familiar with it in the church, the Good News newspaper. This is our summer edition. Circumstances being what they are, we've been unable to produce an edition for May or June. It looks like the next edition, in fact, may not come out till September, but this edition is being printed and reprinted. We're actually praying that God will bless it. It's a response to the COVID crisis. And it's sharing how Jesus can be real in the lives of so many people as they put their faith and trust in him. So please pray for our ministry. I get to travel all over the country talking to churches about how to use the paper, the benefits of using the paper, and we are seeing people come to know the Lord through the work. But please do pray for the ministry. If it can be of any help to you, go to our website, have a look. I know Gordon is familiar with the paper, maybe has some copies as well. We've also just recently produced a new tract. Sometimes people ask us, well, what is this good news that
Christians are always banging on about. This little leaflet that we have produced in conjunction with the paper simply explains the gospel. It simply explains how Jesus can be real in the lives of so many people. We're encouraging churches and Christians to use this, give it out, give it away. Again, you can get hold of copies of that through the Good News website. So thank you so much for letting me be with you this morning. I do bring you greetings from Milton Keynes. I worship at a Baptist church here, and they are praying for us this morning. So you've asked me to preach to you from Psalm 103. What a great psalm to be asked to preach from. I want to read it to you, and then I want to say a prayer, and then we will look at what this psalm written by David nearly 3,000 years ago has to say to us today. And it is unbelievably relevant, particularly for the times that we're going through. So let me read to you Psalm 103, and then we'll pray, and then I want to just share with you a few thoughts from it. So this is what David writes, as I say, nearly 3,000 years ago. Oh, my soul, bless the Lord. All that is within me, bless his holy name. My soul, bless the Lord, and do not forget all his benefits. He forgives all your iniquity. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with faithful love and compassion. He satisfies you with good things. Your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord executes acts of righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He revealed his way to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in faithful love. He will not always accuse us or be angry forever. He's not dealt with us as our sins deserve or repaid us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his faithful love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, he's removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows what we're made of, remembering that we are dust. As for man, his days are like the grass. He blossoms like a flower in the field, and when the wind passes over, it vanishes, and its place is no longer known. But from eternity to eternity, the Lord's faithful love is towards those who fear him, and his righteousness towards their grandchildren. Towards the grandchildren of those who keep his covenant, who remember to observe his precepts. The Lord has established a throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, all you his angels of great strength who do his word, obedient to his command. Bless the Lord, all his armies, his servants who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all the places where he rules. My soul, bless the Lord. Let's just pray together for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we have the Bible available to us today. We thank you so much that we know it's the Word of God. We thank you for the way it teaches us and instructs us and challenges us and encourages us and helps us. We pray that as we look at this great psalm, this great song of praise that was written so many years ago, we may see its relevance for us today and that it may be a blessing for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, obviously, the reason why I'm not with you in person today is because of COVID-19. Lockdown restrictions are slowly being eased, but here I am still at home, and there you are at home as well. It's been a fascinating period, hasn't it? Words that we had never heard of maybe some weeks ago are now ordinary, everyday, commonplace words. Words like Zoom, words like self-isolation and all the rest of it. It's been a fascinating time. It's been a time when people seem to have come together. I have met neighbours in my street, and I've been living here for 15 years, and so are they, that I've really never spoken to before. We were out clapping for carers the other night, and I met some people who've lived in my road all the time I've been here, and I'm ashamed to say I'd never really spoken to them before. It's been a fascinating time. We've had to keep our 2 metres apart from each other. It's been a devastating time for so many people. Not just in the tragic amount of deaths that we've seen, but in the depression, in the loneliness, and in the abuse, the domestic abuse that people have experienced. There's a lady in my church who's a carer, and she visits 10 people in their homes, 10 elderly people. And I was talking to her the other day, and she said, you know, 5 of those elderly people, within the first 2 weeks of lockdown, were talking about committing suicide. devastating loneliness, devastating depression that so many people have been going through. I went to see my mum last week. We formed a social bubble. I took her a bar of Aero. That seemed very appropriate. Chocolate for my mum at that time. We took her. We had the social bubble, and lo and behold, I hadn't seen her for 12 weeks. So it's been an interesting time. The question through all of this that's been running through my mind, and maybe yours, and maybe those of your people in your church, is simply this. What should the Christian's response to all this be? I had a conversation with a lad who called himself an atheist. We were on Zoom for about half an hour. And he said, where is your God in all of this? Why is your God allowing this to happen? Why is your God causing all this death and poverty and everything else that we've seen? What is the Christian response to this? Well, this is one reason why I'm so glad that you've asked me to preach on Psalm 103 this morning. Because I think that psalm is incredibly relevant. I think it's a psalm for today, and I think it's a psalm for our times. Because what David does right at the beginning of Psalm 103 is that he begins to list all the benefits of being in a relationship with God. He lists all the benefits of being in a relationship with God. He is saying, I have a relationship with God. Things may not be great, things may be difficult, and certainly David knew what it was to go through difficult, dark, terrible times, but the benefits of having a relationship with God outweigh the benefits of not having a relationship with God. Even when things are difficult, it's great to know God because of all the benefits that that relationship brings. And he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. He says, I'll praise the Lord. He says, don't forget all his benefits. So sometimes when we go through difficult times, when we're in dark days, it's very easy to forget the benefits of being a believer in Jesus. It's very easy to forget the benefits of knowing God because we want to blame him. We want to shout at him. We want to yell at him. I understand that. I've done it myself in times past. We want to say, God, where are you? And we may feel as if our prayers are hitting the ceiling. Sometimes maybe when we're alone and we're isolated, we get very, very depressed and God seems a million miles away. David says, I've been through that. I've been through those days. I've been through those times, but I still am rejoicing. My soul can still rest in the Lord and in my relationship with God. And I can still be thankful for the benefits of my relationship with God, the benefits that come from knowing God. I just want to remind you very simply this morning of some of the benefits of having a relationship with God. If you have a relationship with God, if you have a relationship with Jesus, hallelujah. I hope that this list that David presents us with will just be a reminder to you as you go into yet another week, will be a blessing to you. If you don't have a relationship with God, I don't know you. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, well, he's only a prayer away. And this psalm again reminds us of why you should come to know him for yourself. So let's just look at the list David gives us. It's quite a list. He begins by saying this. Don't forget you're forgiven. Benefit number one of having a relationship with God. Don't forget you are forgiven. If you felt a bit guilty during lockdown, even as a Christian, about moaning about God, complaining, getting depressed, not doing all you could be doing. If you've been feeling a bit guilty about maybe lack of witness or lack of evangelism or some personal sin that's been happening or some habit that's reoccurred during lockdown. I've met Christians who said, well, during lockdown, some old habits have started to come up again and they've reoccurred. Whatever it is, David says, don't forget one of the benefits of your relationship with God is that you are forgiven. Jesus Christ died on the cross once and for all. You know, sometimes we get strange opportunities. Last week, I had the opportunity to interview a Hollywood actor. His name's Sam Jones, and he played Flash Gordon in the film that came out 40 years ago, the one with the Queen soundtrack, if you know the film. Very gaudy science fiction, brightly coloured sort of action adventure film. And I was talking to this Hollywood actor at his home in America. And he's a Christian. And he said, one of the things he said that really struck me was this. I have failed so many times, but Jesus only died for me once. Jesus died for me once and for all. My sins, past, present, and future are forgiven. Yes, I need to come back. Yes, I need to repent. But I'm made right with God. He wanted to emphasize the point that Jesus, as the book of Hebrews says, died once and for all for our sins. You are forgiven. You are right with God. You are a child of the King. You can walk with your head held high because you've been forgiven because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. When he died on the cross, he took our place and he took our punishment. David says, benefit number one of it being in a relationship with God, you're forgiven. Live in the light of that. And then benefit number two, again, verse 3 of the psalm, David says, don't forget you're healed. Now, that's an interesting one, isn't it? Particularly in the light of what we're going through. The scripture says, don't forget, one of the benefits of being in a relationship with God is that you are healed. Does that mean that, as my atheist friend said, that all COVID-related cases are going to be healed if we put our trust in God? Does that mean all our diseases are going to be healed? Clearly not. Now, I would say, never underestimate the power of God to heal. Never underestimate the power of God to do miracles. God is still in the miracle-making business. Jesus is still in the healing business. But not everybody, you know, not yourself even, is necessarily going to be healed from our sicknesses. Last year, I had the joy, I fulfilled a lifetime ambition of going to Israel. And on our second day in Jerusalem, we visited the pool of Bethesda. And you will remember that was the place where many, many sick people would go. And the story was that an angel would come down, stir the waters. First one into the waters got healed. Jesus went there and he healed one man out of the hundreds of sick people that were lying around. I can tell you from having been there, it's a very, very large pool indeed. What David, I think, would have us know is this. God always has our best interests at heart. God always has our best interests at heart. So whether he heals you or whether he doesn't, whether he allows things to happen, whether he stops some things happening, whether he says yes or no or wait in response to your prayers, God always has our best interests at heart. It's Father's Day today, and I have a daughter who lives in Jersey. I am always thinking of her best interests as a good dad. At least I hope I am a good dad. What's best for my daughter? What is best for her? How can I best look after her? How can I best care for her? How can I best provide for her? That's my role as a father, and I'm reminded of it on this Father's Day. God is our Heavenly Father, and he's ever looking at you, and he's ever looking at me, and he's saying, right, what's best for Andy? What's best for these, for my people? What's best for my children? What do I need them to learn? What do I need them to experience? David says God heals your diseases, but the scripture says that God takes us through whatever life has to throw at us for a reason and a purpose. God always has a reason and a purpose. One of the benefits of having a relationship with God. And then thirdly, David says, well, okay, so listen, you're forgiven, you're healed. And then in verse 4, he says, don't forget you're restored, forgiven, and loved. Isn't that great? I haven't opened it at the time of recording, but I think I have a Father's Day card from my daughter. I'm hoping when I open it up inside, it will say, love you, Dad. It's nice to be loved, isn't it? Nice to feel loved. Maybe that's been one of the things that's come out of your experience of lockdown, that people have contacted you and said, we're missing you and we love you. Well, God says, I love you. The proof, of course, is how far he went to demonstrate his love. God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus. And Jesus so loved us that he died on the cross to take the punishment for the things we've done wrong. Verse 4 is very, very clear. You are loved. And because you are loved, God wants to restore you and God wants to redeem you. He wants to buy you back for himself. My mother is desperately praying that I will not redeem the McDonald's vouchers that I have in my wallet because she thinks I put on too much weight during lockdown. She's praying I won't redeem them. Here's God in a much more incredible, most fantastic way possible, redeeming us, buying us back for himself because he loves us. And if you're in isolation this morning, I want you to feel loved. If you've been lonely through this period, if you've got depressed, if maybe you've got down, I want you to know how much you are loved. And David wants you to know how much you're loved. David had lonely times. David had times when he had to go into isolation. David had times when he sins and he lets God down and he writes Psalm 50 in which he confesses his sin. And in that psalm, he says, God restored me. Because he loves us, God will always do that for us. So What are the benefits? And if you're not a Christian, if you don't know Jesus, what are you missing out on? What are the benefits of being a believer? You're forgiven. You're healed. You're loved. You're restored. You're forgiven. The question is then, of course, well, what is the guarantee of all this? What is the guarantee of all this? And what David does is to go on to show us the guarantees in verses 7 to 19 of this psalm. And the rest of the psalm, he says, I'm going to prove to you that this is true. Here's the guarantee that if you put your faith and trust in God, all these things will be yours. Here's the guarantee. So the first guarantee is this. He talks about Moses. In other words, the guarantee is this. God's done it in the past. If you don't believe me, just ask Moses. If you don't believe me that God can do all this for you, just go and ask Moses. God did it for Moses. Moses went through dark days. Moses was at times isolated. I'm sure there were times in Moses' life when he was very, very lonely. And the people were rebelling, and he has to deal with them. And eventually he's only got two spies who say, yes, it's okay to go into the promised land out of 12. And Moses must have felt very down and isolated at times. But God, David says, look what God did for Moses. He was with him. He loved him. He helped him. He forgave him. Look what God did for Moses and for the people of Israel. If you don't believe me, believe them. So God has done all of this for people in the past. But then David says he's done it in the present. He's doing it right now. David is experiencing God's love. David is experiencing God's forgiveness. David is experiencing God's presence in his life. He's done it in the past. He's doing it in the present. And he'll keep on doing it. And what's the guarantee that God will keep on doing it no matter how long you and I live? The guarantee is that God is on the throne. God is on the throne. Somebody, again, I was talking, I help run a Facebook page devoted to movies. I have a passion for movies. Maybe you can see a pile of Blu-rays behind me. Don't judge me. I have 3,000 movies in the room that I'm sitting in right now. And one of the girls on the Facebook page that I help run, recently, before lockdown, we had a get-together at a Pizza Express in London, and Anne is an atheist. And I walked into the Pizza Express in London, and Anne just at the top of her voice bellowed out, oh, look, here comes Andy with his imaginary friend Jesus. And my reply was, not imaginary, just invisible. But I hope you can see him in me. Not imaginary, just invisible. He's on the throne. And we have a guarantee of his presence that not just takes us through today, but will carry us into the future. Jesus is with us. And if you're not a Christian, boy, you're missing out. I wouldn't change places with you for all the money in the world because of what I have in Jesus and because of the benefits of knowing him. So this is this psalm, really, in a nutshell. David says, do not forget the benefits of knowing God. He then goes on to list the benefits. And he then goes on to say the guarantee is that God has done this in the past. God is doing it in the present. God will do it in the future because God is on the throne. On this Father's Day, I wish all dads a happy Father's Day, all families. But I wish you all a good day. But the best thing that you can do today is to come to know the Heavenly Father that we have. Come to know him for yourself and discover all the benefits of knowing God. God bless you. And thank you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for this lovely psalm that's recorded in your word. We want to thank you for what David reminds us of are the benefits of having a relationship with God. And if we don't have a relationship with God, we're not forgiven. We don't know love. We don't know what it means to be restored. We don't know what it means to have hope and a future. But when we come to know you for ourselves, we praise you that there is forgiveness and there is healing and there is love and there is redemption and there is peace. We thank you that our God is on the throne. And we pray today that we would come to know his rule in our lives. And we would pray today that so many would come to know the fatherhood of God on this Father's Day and come to know Jesus and all that he's done for them. Thank you, Lord. Amen. My grace.
music.